Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew A. Horowitz.
And it's May Day, the famous communist holiday. Perfect for the markets.
Wait, is it a communist holiday? What is that about?
Well, that's, when I was a kid, that's what I always thought.
Why? Because people had a maypole and isn't that the whole—
No. It's because they had the big parade in Moscow.
Ah.
And they would have, Khrushchev would be there watching the soldiers walk by with the giant missiles.
It seems and like so this is actually a national holiday in many countries.
Yeah.
You get the days off and all that.
Yeah. Nice. Workers control the means of production.
Huh.
Workers unite.
You ever do the maypole where you take the ribbons and you wrap them around and make
it? No, I've never even seen that done. I've just seen pictures of it. I believe it's a hoax.
May Day, the maypole is a hoax.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I guess, well.
Have you seen it?
No, but I guess we'll put it in the category of the burning bush.
Well,
something okay. we want to believe, but yet never been seen. It's one of those things. What else I going to mention to you? There's a few other things I was going to mention to you. I don't know. Let's see what happened. The shirts are a big hit. I got some nice emails about the shirts, which we have now available for listeners who want to buy them. So we can talk about that a little bit later. But basically, just take whatever the show number is. This is show number 406. And
they're getting more expensive every show.
Every show, inflation is everywhere. So you can just go over to the donate section of DH Unplugged, click on the donate, and if we see 406 show up in the $406, we'll actually sign it and send it to you in your size and your fancy. The other thing that I did this weekend, I made another batch of brandy, homemade brandy.
Did you? You have a still?
No, everything up to that point is homemade. So take
everything up to the brandy itself.
Right. Yeah.
So you didn't really make any brandy. Well, you flavored some.
Flavored some Everclear grain alcohol.
Oh.
With some sugars. I made figs this time. I made a fig brandy this time.
Did you back it off a little bit so it has so it's actually drinkable? You can't drink that.
The last batch I made, which was full load, it sat in the, a cup of sugar or a little bit less of sugar in a quart jar and black plums, a little bit of cinnamon, orange peel, and then Everclear, and sat in a closet for about 5 months. It was very drinkable. It was very smooth.
150?
Yeah. I don't know if maybe the sugar mellows it out or something, or I don't know, but it was very delicious.
Jeez.
So I made figs this time. I made red plum. I made black plum. I made blackberry. I made 7 quarts of it this time.
Wow.
Yeah. Gotta maybe start
start a business.
Yeah. Finally, artisan crafted brandy. And we'll charge like $200 a bottle. Oh, by the way, I was at dinner the other night. Oh, I got to get a picture of this because I don't remember the name of it. You need to know about what happened here. I was at dinner the other night and I was with some friends. And a guy comes over to the table that my friends knew, and we're talking and whatever. He says, "Hey, let me buy you a bottle of wine." I go, "Okay, that's fine. We're not going to argue with that, right?" So guy goes over and says to the lady, we're at the Capitol Grill, he says, "Would you open my locker and please give them one of the bottles of wine there?" So she looks and says, "Oh, the bottle you wanted, we don't have any left. It's none in here. So what do you have?" So she pulls out this bottle, and we start drinking it. It's a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon called Abacus.
Yeah.
It's Abacus 18. We look at the menu. Do you know how much this bottle was in the restaurant?
Well, if you bought it in the store, it's about $250.
I saw the least I saw it was for $6.99. Yeah, that bottle was $1,000 on the menu.
On the menu, yeah. So, I've never seen it on a menu.
Anyway, all right, let's get to what's going on in the markets here. Because
how was the wine?
It was fantastic.
Oh, good.
They take multiple years and they add them together and create the bottle.
Yeah, it's kind of a blended wine.
Yeah, I thought it was delicious. I mean, it was really delicious. But you know, it was, I don't know, $1,000. I don't think I'd buy it myself.
You might buy it for $250.
Maybe. It was excellent. It really was a good wine. I enjoyed it. So now April's in the record books, and we managed to squeeze out a positive month for equities. Fixed income didn't do as well. Emerging markets were down a bit. The 10-year bond, as you know, the Treasury moved above 3% and then kind of slipped back a little bit. There was some concern about tariffs. And
well, that was that's a plus.
Yeah, central banks tightening. We have see actually meeting tomorrow. The Fed met today and yesterday, and now they're going to be giving us a decision on the rate hike tomorrow. I think the I think it's a 0% or a little more than a 0% chance of a rate hike tomorrow. So we'll see.
So nobody's expecting a rate hike.
Nobody's expecting it at all. We did see a big turnaround today. The markets were down. I think the Dow was down like 350 or 60 or 70 points or something like that at one point during the day. It ended up only down 60. It took about an hour to recapture all that for no reason whatsoever. It didn't hit any lines. It didn't do anything. Just all of a sudden, everybody was like, let's start buying. We did see that the manufacturing numbers recently are starting to slow down. Nothing really to get too concerned about. Construction spending was down. I don't know if you've seen any of the home builders recently, though. Boy, they've been in the doghouse. And it's probably because of, some of the numbers look good. Some of the numbers look
a little, think not, might because good. The prices, I mean, yeah. The cost of housing has gone to the ceiling.
Right. Well, a couple of reasons are the material costs are out of control. Lumber costs are out of control. And think about this for a second. When you build a house, when you buy a new house, so you put down $500,000, let's say you're buying a new house, what do you put down? Whatever the cost is. And it's not going to be built for what, a year or so, right? Meanwhile,
well, I hope you're not putting down $500,000.
Well, for a $5 million home, of course.
Oh, okay.
But whatever you're putting down. Point is, you're locked into a price. It's not an adjustable price. You're locked into a price. And what happens is now that lumber prices hit like record highs recently and other materials are skyrocketing, the home builders that priced the house at X now have their input prices at, you know, Y plus 20%.
Yes, margin squeeze.
Margin squeeze. Yep, exactly. So that's been going on in the housing market. Hasn't been looking too jiffy. Auto sales have been slowing down a bit also. Certain companies really got whipsawed. Nissan saw a 28% plunge in their sales in their latest report. And several other car companies are also seeing slowdowns. And I think one of the reasons is, one of the things we do know is that the SUVs and trucks have been on fire. Amazing how even with the price of gas going higher, people are buying the larger cars with less, you know, worse mileage.
Yeah, well, it's not as bad as it used to be where it was 12 miles to the gallon. But, I mean, it probably doubled the gas mileage over the last number of years, but it's still crummy compared to anything else.
Yeah, sure.
I understand Ford has stopped. They've decided to stop making sedans altogether.
Altogether. They'll start that up. They had a time when gas prices hit those highs back in 2007, 2008, they like stopped production on their big trucks. Nobody was buying them then. And then they start, you know, everything cycles, as you know. But why are, you know, is this the whole thing that we talked about where car companies have been extending the
idiots.
Terms?
Oh, I'm sorry.
of how they're extending the lease and the buyout dates, you know, whereas it used to be 3 years, now it's 4 years.
Yeah, you pointed this out a couple of times. It's very interesting that they did this.
You got to wonder if it's catching up to them.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to, of course, what do they mean by sedans? I guess people, the car that is out of fashion is a big old four-door. I mean, you'd get a, I'm sure they're not stopping, they're not going to stop making the Focus, which is a small dinky sedan, I would say.
Why? I mean, they say they're stopping all sedans. Doesn't?
Well, yeah, but a Ford Focus is kind of like a, I don't know what you call it.
Is that a two-door or a four-door?
It's a five-door and I think it's a five-door mostly.
What is a sedan?
I don't know. I think a sedan is a large wheelbase with a front wheel with a rear wheel drive.
Or an enclosed chair for conveying one person carried between horizontal poles by two or more porters.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
An enclosed, that's the historical definition. The North American definition is an enclosed automobile for four or more people having two or four doors.
Yeah, well, that would include almost everything.
Yeah, because none of them have one door.
I mean, even the SUVs have got, you know, many of them are just, well, they carry four or more, and they have four doors. So they're not sedans, so this is not a good definition.
Ford dumps its U.S. sedan lineup. Ford will just sell two car models in North America, the Mustang and the forthcoming Focus Active, as opposed to the Focus Inactive.
The Focus has been a good car for them more recently, I have to say. It's a nice car, very functional.
So just making the Mustang and then just making the Focus.
And the SUVs.
And the SUVs, right. That's bizarre.
I think so.
Taurus is going bye-bye. The Fusion's going bye-bye. The Fiesta's done. And the Focus. It's the only
The Fusion is a pretty nice car.
I drove that.
A little big.
Oh, the Focus nameplate will stay around, but in the form of a future crossover. So the only thing they're going to be making is the Mustang.
Huh.
That's pretty unbelievable.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
They're going to paint themselves into a hole here or something.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they could turn on those, turn the valve the other way at a drop of a hat. I don't know. I don't think so.
I can't imagine they have to retool the whole factory.
Well, I guess they're doing that anyway for the big whatever those big Ford Explorers or whatever the main Fords are.
Yeah,
they don't do much of a minivan. It's just mostly SUVs.
And they make a couple of the Expedition and the
That's the big giant one.
Yeah, that's what I have.
You have a big giant one?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. It's all sorts.
They were going to name it the Canyonero.
Oh,
and no, there's like five people in the audience got that joke.
Ah, and that I'm not one of those. I'm not in the audience. Bitcoin and alts are seeing a good deal of volatility again. We saw that Bitcoin looked like it was going to do a moonshot, you know, to the moon.
Moonshot.
That's what they use, the moonshot. Or they just use the word moon because you have to abbreviate everything. We talked about how podcasters are now trying to abbreviate podcasts into pods.
Yeah, they're breving everything.
Yeah, a pod, which I think is really stupid. Did I tell you this yet?
No.
How stupid is calling a podcast a pod? Call it a cast. If you want to abbreviate something, call it a cast. Because it then goes with like a telecast of, you know.
It would make more sense. It has some logical meaning. There's nothing. Pod, it sounds like, you know, you've been taken over by aliens. Yeah,
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Oh, we're having a pod. Oh, dude, I'm not involved. I mean, it's crazy, the whole pod thing. I can't do it.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And every time I see it.
I'm rejecting all these abrevs.
Every time I see it on Twitter, we ran a great pod today. I'm like, what's a pod? What are you doing? What's a pod? That's crazy. But, I mean, if you want to call something, you know, it's stupid. It's just stupid. Just the need to abbreviate everything and change the meaning of words. And I've talked to you about how kids these days, when they don't like something, they go, oh, that, you know, let's say it's a filthy motel. They go, oh, the place is ratchet. What's ratchet? That's not a word. Ratchet's a wrench. It's a ratcheting.
It's ratchet?
Ratchet. That's what they call it.
What does it mean? What is it? Is it a combination of wretched and?
I think it's a mispronunciation of the word wretched. Some idiot young kid saw the word, and he saw, ratchet. Yeah, that's ratchet. Yeah, and they started doing it. Everybody started calling everything ratchet.
I never heard this.
Seriously. My son said it to me tonight. Oh, that place is ratchet. I'm like, thank God I know what you're talking about. Otherwise,
Maybe it's kind of a between wretched and rat shit.
It could be.
But it sounds like this place is rat shit.
If you look up the word in maybe some of those funky dictionaries, you'll find it means like a disgusting hellhole or filthy or disgusting. Ratchet.
I'm using it.
Yeah. It's a ratchet pod. The ratchet pod. See, the ratchet.
Well, that's most of them.
The ratchet cast sounds even better, though. Anyway, Bitcoin was moving up and it hit above 9,000, kind of came down below 9,000. All the other coins moved incredibly. I mean, I own some NEO. It went from like 45 to 90, backed off a little bit to 80 something in a matter of like 2 weeks.
Dump it.
Yeah. Possibly. Have you been following this whole T-Mobile and Sprint merger hoo-ha?
A little bit.
You know, this has been going on forever. It's like, it seemed like it was Sprint that was desperate. And they finally got together with T-Mobile. They're planning on merging. And I don't know, with all this antitrust stuff going on with the, you know, telecom companies slash, you know, anything in the communication space and all, I don't understand why they're doing this unless they're so desperate for some reason.
I have no idea. I think they need the leverage or they are these agreements between the different companies because you have to have, you know, all these peering agreements or you're kind of screwed. No matter who you are, except for maybe Verizon.
Yeah.
And you, I think perhaps the combination of T-Mobile and Sprint, which is kind of weird because if I'm not mistaken, Sprint is CDMI or CDMA and T-Mobile is GSM.
I don't know if that's the case anymore, is it?
Well, I know T-Mobile is GSM because I use T-Mobile, but I thought Sprint was the other standard. I could be wrong.
If they did that.
I mean, Verizon is, I know for a fact.
Yeah, but the problem is if they did that, they were two different carrier, two different carrier, what's the word you're looking for here? Was it,
standards.
Standards, right. That would be really difficult. Maybe
the point was just for the peering deals.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it would be really difficult. It would be impossible.
Right. I don't even understand that. But if they did that and they did convert to it, some of the chat room peeps are saying they're going to be converting to, Sprint to be converted to GSM. What's interesting about this, both stocks are down very hard on the news. So they were talking about this and everybody was excited and they bid Sprint up. And then the news came out. It was, I think at first, a $24 billion valuation of Sprint and it was $26 billion like on a Friday night, of course, late. By the time you got in on Monday morning, stock was down like 10%. Hmm. And also what was hit were the tower companies. And the reason for that was probably because if they do this merger, they don't need as many towers, theoretically. Right? Because if they're, if you have.
Right. Because each, well, especially if Sprint goes GSM.
Mm-hmm, right.
Although they have to grandfather the other stuff out. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the tower business that much. I know it's a good business to be in. I know places that, for example, there's this really funky old bookstore in Detroit, Michigan. And I've always, you go in there, the place is a fire hazard. It's very famous. And you wonder how they stay in business because they, you know, it's just a mess.
The toll road.
Like six stories of books.
Well,
And then when you step outside, you look on the roof, they have every antenna in the world is up there. And so you get paid a fortune for this real estate.
That's the point. It's a gigantic virtual toll booth.
Yeah.
Everything's just running through there.
So this bookstore will be in business forever if they never sell another book.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it makes sense that the tower companies will have some problem. I think that this merger is going to have some difficulty.
What is the number one tower company for investors?
AMT is one big one.
Yeah.
American something tower, mobile tower, AMT. Mm-hmm. That's what it trades under.
Unfamiliar. Mm.
Apple came out with earnings tonight. And there was a lot going into this because there were several downgrades recently. There was slashing of iPhone shipments for the last several weeks. Some major companies, major sell-side analysts came out with reduced numbers. They've been basically bringing these numbers down for the last 5 or 6 weeks. And of course, miracle of miracles, they reported earnings that were 5 cents better than the consensus. Revenues grew about 15.6% year over year.
They sandbagged everybody.
Of course. Till the analysts, hey, tell them it's going to be a little bit lower. So what happens is everybody starts bringing down their numbers. And of course they beat. And so what does that do? It starts, you know, everybody's, they beat the numbers. But this has been happening a lot lately. And we see that on the news, there is a big up in the stock price. And then just let it sit for a little while through the next day. And everybody gets their heads about them and says, wait a minute. Let's take these numbers and really break them down and see what's happening. I don't know if this is going to happen with Apple, but we've seen this several times with other companies in the tech space and in other space where Caterpillar was a great example of this, where it was up you know, 4% on the news. And then when people broke it all down and looked at it, this is terrible. It was down like, you know, it's 5 or 6% afterwards. A 10% in turnaround. Gross margins were a little bit lighter. They were 38.3 versus 38.5. Guidance was about 38 to 38.5. So they came in the middle, but they were, again, lower than expectations. Their revenues were better, 61.14 billion versus 60.94 billion. iPhone shipments, they did 52.2 versus 52 million, but and what they do last year, 50.8 million. So still a good number.
Well, especially if the revenues are going up, I really don't have a problem.
Unless their margins are compressing, then it's not so good.
Yeah, but they got the margin numbers. They're not compressing that much.
Right, exactly.
And even if they were compressing a little bit, as long as the revenues are going up.
I have to look. Yeah, revenues rose 15.6 year over year.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Wouldn't we all like our salary or our incomes to go up 15.6% a year?
Yeah, that'll be the day.
Mm-hmm. iPad shipments, 9.1 million versus 8.8 million estimates, but there was 10.2 million last year. We know those have been coming down on a regular basis, the iPads.
Yeah.
Ever since you got these all-in-one machines, plus the fact that what do you need to keep on working on your, you know, getting a new iPad if the old ones work. I've had this one forever, which now just cursed it, and it will not turn on tomorrow, I'm sure. What else do we see here? Mac shipments, 4.1 million versus 4.1 estimates, but 4.2 million last year. Now, here's some interesting statistics. This is where the revenue came from and the growth. America, the Americas, they were plus 17% on a year-over-year basis on revenue. Europe up 9%, China up 21%, Japan up 22%. So Asia's definitely getting very friendly, which is so interesting because they have all those cheap knockoff phones over there.
I can't, the only thing I can say is that I believe, and I have a couple of those cheap knockoff phones. They look just like the same, you know, like an iPhone. If you're just carrying around an iPhone for prestige, you can use one of those. But if you actually wanted to use it for more than just making phone calls, I mean, the cameras don't work and I mean, all this other sort of thing. But I have to assume because I hate to say it, but the Chinese are just as a culture, they're penny pinchers. And
in certain aspects, wait. In certain aspects, when it comes to the bling and it comes to their culture.
Maybe, it could be.
Well,
But I still have to say this because of there is knockoffs, there's competitors, there's products that are just as good or better, including the Huawei phone. I have to assume that if it wasn't for all that other stuff, this Apple number in China would be outrageously high.
One of the things that in China, you know, they are really big on owning things that they show their wealth with. And if it's a status symbol like a Cadillac or a Mercedes or a Rolex or an iPhone, it's a status symbol that they have it and they're big. I mean, really big on that. You could be... You know, people could be dead broke and they're driving a Cadillac or something like that because they're like, hey, look what we got. Or I think
usually a Mercedes.
Oldsmobiles. I think they're big on the Oldsmobiles over there. Oh, they were.
Well, I've never seen them. They don't even make them anymore. Yeah. But when I go over there, I always see lots of Mercedes.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Hong Kong or China?
Both.
Okay. Let's see. Company Apple issued upside guidance for the next quarter with revenues between 51.5 and 53.5 billion. Versus 51.51, so it's a little bit higher. Let's see. Gross margins, 38 to 38.5 still. And let's see here. They said that customers chose iPhone X more than any other iPhone each week in the March quarter, just as they did following the launch in December. We also grew our revenue. Well, of course, that's the top phone they have. It's the best phone they have. If people are going to upgrade, they're going to go to the iPhone X. What else? They're not going to go, I have an iPhone 8. I want a 7 now. It's not how it works. Right?
Not in any normal world.
But here's the thing that really was something. They add another $100 billion to this share repurchase program and raise their dividend 16% to 73 cents a share. $100 billion. That's like what, 16% of the company?
It's a lot of buybacking.
That's unbelievable. That's all the benefit of the taxes that was supposed to trickle down to you and I, to the poor workers, to us potters. And it was supposed to be, you know, all this great tax savings that was put in place was supposed to really be beneficial. And who is it going to? It's going to the shareholders, which may be the average Joe and Jane out there, but probably not.
No, it's mostly institutions.
Yep.
But, you know, there's retirement accounts are invested in that sort of thing. It kind of trickles around.
Well, it's definitely good for markets, especially because they're the largest cap out there. Now, on the other side of the aisle, we had Snap, the old Snapchat, which was snipped. So they reported a gross loss of 17 cents a share, which was in line with the consensus. Revenues rose 54% to $230 million versus an estimate of $244 million.
Driven by $230 million in advertising or
total
or
revenue.
What?
Total revenue. How do they? I guess they get it from advertising.
That's a lot of advertising. Have you ever used Snapchat?
I use it quite often.
Yeah, what kind of ads do you see?
I don't see ads because.
Well, that doesn't sound right. It sounds like this whole thing sounds scamish.
I very rarely see an ad. I told you this a long time ago. I very rarely see an ad in my Twitter feed on my mobile device. I don't know where they are unless they're so.
I've never seen an ad in the regular Twitter feed, except that once in a while you see a sponsored content
slip
through or somebody apparently you're now following.
Yeah.
Which you never followed. How did that work?
Yeah. So I've never seen that. And on Facebook, I never see it either. I don't use Facebook that often, but I rarely see. I see some of these kind of, I guess, because I look at some of these foodie kind of, you know, things. And so you start looking at a few of them, then all of a sudden you get a barrage of them. So I don't know if those are sponsored. I don't think so, because don't they have to say sponsored on there somewhere? It's kind of more like a native ad.
I don't think there's any law that says you have to say sponsored. I mean, they just do it as a courtesy.
Every once in a while, I get something through my Twitter feed. Now, what happens with Snap is if you make one of those funny faces, you know, where you're a dog or something like that, well, they have
other... Yeah, you got a big, long tongue.
Yeah, well, they have other ones that, for example, are... let's say movies coming out, like the Avengers. They'll have you in an Avenger mask, and it'll say, like, Marvel's the Avengers on the bottom, and if you want to use that as your you know, for your Snap, then obviously... They're getting paid for that availability. I don't think they're getting paid on a per snap basis, but probably getting paid on, just a gross inclusion basis. And then there's also the other areas that, for example, I don't know, you know, pick whatever you want. Maybe McDonald's has a Snapchat thing in the story. So you could kind of look at the McDonald's story, or whatever story you want that probably is paid for as well.
Who's going to look at the McDonald's story?
I don't know. I don't look at any of those stories. I just use it simply to send something of interest to my kids real quick. Just click a picture, snap, snap, boom, it's done. It goes to them. They see what's going on. A couple of friends here and there, but that's about it. If I'm out fishing, I'll take a picture with Snap of the fish I caught. Caught a nice 18-pound mahi this weekend, by the way.
I should go fishing with you sometime, or actually after you're fishing, then I can hold up the fish and claim I caught it.
Yeah. And you know,
that's
you know,
more traditional, it seems to me.
You know the trick too, right? You do the big hands. You hold it out away from yourself.
Close, oh, yeah.
Close to the camera, and the perspective changes. Now the fish looks gigantic.
The fish is huge. The size of me.
Like, all right, hold it out more. Hold it out a little bit more. Because sometimes you could get a big fish. I've had big fish that I'm holding and take a picture. I'm like, that is the smallest fish in the picture.
Yeah.
I guess it's also a matter of perspective. Daily active users on Snapchat grew from 166 million in last year to about 194, but they didn't like the number. Stock was down about 16% after hours.
Huh.
And then Facebook came out with a little ditty, a couple of things today. First of all, they're going to let users see what sites are tracking them from across the web in an effort for additional transparency. Zuckerberg announced that today in some conference. You know, because Facebook actually tracks you seemingly when you're not on Facebook. I don't know how they did this, but when you're on Facebook or if you're not on Facebook, they're still tracking you.
Yeah. Well, when you're not on Facebook, they determine there's a person doing stuff. They say me, and I'm not on Facebook. And so they assign it a number code. And I'm all of a sudden now 75537 6D or something like that. And they'll, when, and every time they think it's me, they make these attributions. And they, you know, he went to the store, he did this, he's using a mobile phone or whatever. So they do that, yeah.
But that's when you're not on Facebook.
It stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. But they came up with that then, which I still think that all these things they're doing, allowing for users to see this and showing them how to block things, I still think there is a major problem for their longer-term advertising growth prospect, which is why I'm short Facebook.
Well, tell us what the major problem is. Don't just tell us you shorted it.
No, I think if you look at what's going on, and while most people don't care that they give all the information out, I understand all of that, there is a good amount of people that may say, you know what, I'm really, they're doing all these things, they're kind of creepy, I'm really not interested. And I'm one of them, by the way. But I'm really not interested in going on the site and giving all my information, showing where I'm going, what I'm doing, who I'm spending my time with. You know, I never do check-ins and things like that. But I think with all this publicity about them, you know, almost, you know, tracking you to a level that is just insane, that people are going to be like, you know what, it's enough already. Maybe I'll cut back a little bit. And I think that this is going to be a problem for advertising, because advertising is all about how many, well, let's call it page views, but how many views they get, or clicks for that matter. And Facebook charges for both, for views inside the feed. And if you're on that less time, then therefore there's a problem, right? There's not as much advertising coming through. That's number one. The second thing is, I think advertisers are going to realize that, wait a minute, people are hiding their information, not allowing us to see this, and possibly realize that targeted advertising is not as going to be effective, or it won't be as effective, and therefore slow down on their ad spend.
Well, personally, I think everything you said is completely, I'd say the opposite to everything.
The opposite? You think there's going to be more ad spend?
Yeah, I think there's going to be more ad spend because their mechanism is too good to ignore. I mean, it's really dynamite. And I think, and I don't see any evidence of what you said about people going, oh my God, they're following me. They don't care.
Anybody in the chat room have any concerns about all the different things that happen with Facebook and not using Facebook as much anymore? We have a little bit of delay there, so we'll wait.
It's always about a minute.
So
it's 30 seconds.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I just think that there may be, with all these, you know, hashtags that go on these days and the bad actors being, you know, bludgeoned, look, you know, first of all, go out and, you know, accused and they're guilty first and we'll deal with the rest later.
Yeah.
So we have,
well, that's the way it goes nowadays.
We have a couple of people that never joined.
That's why you're better off just being a podder.
Yeah. Podder. Yep. Let's see what else here. Big news.
A couple of people chimed in. What did they say?
They said, love Facebook. I just updated my settings. Didn't use Facebook before. Won't use it now. Never joined. I haven't used Facebook for 3 years. I stopped. I was a big user of Messenger. I switched back to messages in iOS because obviously they're reading your messages.
Sounds like a bunch of status quo comments to me.
Possibly. Love Facebook. Okay. The other thing that they did today was they made an announcement that they'll be coming out with a dating app or dating functionality.
Yes, I found this to be amusing. And then they said, of all things, it's not for hooking up.
Oh, who the hell needs that then for? What's the point of it then?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if I'm like somebody, I'm in my 20s, I'm single, I'm roaming around, I'm in the Bay Area, wherever, and this app comes out and they make a point of saying it's not for hooking up. Well, I'm going to go back to the other thing. It is for hooking up.
Hold on a second. They use that terminology?
That's my understanding, yeah.
We have this wonderful dating app. But it's not, so it's like the Christian singles or something like that, or
Farmers Only.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to be lonely.
Yeah, yeah. Or I saw some kind of, what was it on? It was on some, you know, oh, look at how great this new company it is, an innovation concept show that I was watching.
Yeah.
It's a new company that the woman said, oh, all these, you know, dating and hooking up things. People, not everybody wants that. Some people just want a little tenderness, a little bit of care. She has I don't know exactly the name of the company.
Of course, a lot of people think that way. Yeah, she's about 70.
Yeah, she has a company that she goes out and cuddles with people.
She's a cuddler.
Yeah, cuddler.
Professional.
Yeah, professional cuddler.
Huh.
That's creepy.
I think it's more creepy than the hooking up.
Yeah, I agree. Now, what happened with that? What's, you know, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. Well, Match.com got smoked.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Because I guess.
Well, and they're not for hooking up either, but Facebook.
They have some Oh, yes. They have some of those. Tinder on Match? Isn't Tinder part of Match Group?
I don't know.
Or maybe that IAC Interactive. Either one, both of them got hit. So I think it's going to be short-lived. We'll see about that when we talk about the game.
I'm now on this one, I'm in agreement with you. Yeah. I don't think it's that it has legs.
Yeah, Match.
And who needs the aggravation? You don't go to if you're going to hook up, I hate to use the term, I'm going to continue. if you're going to meet up or do something with some, you're trying to meet people on Facebook, the mechanism of Facebook itself does the job. You don't need something special, something extra just to get in the way. It sounds like it's going to be just annoying.
Well,
I wouldn't use
the thing is that with some of these other tools, whether it's, you know, JDate or, you know, that's a Jewish dating thing, or the JSwipe or Swipe or Tinder, where you're actively going out looking left and right to see, I'm not going to use your term, but who you want to bang. I'll use it that way.
It's worse.
But that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's all superficial. It's just by looks. Just
that's all it is. And if they agree, and there's a...
She's pretty.
And there's a new...
See what she thinks. Oh, okay, let's go.
There's another swipe called...
It's very, very shallow and...
Awful.
Yeah, well, probably. It's shallow and very... I think it's extremely modern. Probably a lot of venereal diseases going around that crowd, I'm guessing.
Sounds like a little bit of jealousy here.
Well, I'm over the hill, so I can't, you know,
so
can't
we could
partake.
Just, we could spit
I mean, I
on
could,
this.
But can you imagine?
Right. Can you imagine if they had this when you were young? Would you use it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Right, exactly. But now that we're all like, why would somebody do something like this? There's even a, I think it's
called, it's disgusting.
Something called TriSwipe, I think it is. It's for trios. Yep. You have to, all three have to agree, though, I think. Or maybe the two women and the one men.
It sounds like various gambling ideas from Vegas.
Again, things that we would love to do when we were younger.
Yeah. Well.
So, Match.com got hit pretty hard, which was really kind of interesting because we've had Match.com in one of our portfolios for our clients for the last several months. We made like 35% of it. We rotated the portfolio today due to a variety of reasons we go through this whole filtering process, and today was the day to rebalance. So we rebalanced the whole portfolio. Match came out today. So we kept on our nice profit on that jobby.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what else. You're going to like this one. You're going to love this one. This is where you and I started. We're starting to see headlines again about the potential for a massive rise in oil prices.
Oh, yes.
So one of the comments that came out from one of these gents who's calling for this is what he says. He says, the reluctance of energy companies to pour money into new production means that an explosive move in crude to $300 a barrel isn't out of the question, according to Pierre Andron, one of the, I feel like I could use a lot of nasal, and anything sounds French that way.
Yeah.
Pierre Andron, one of the oil sector's most high profile hedge fund managers. Hype, 300.
We haven't even seen two ever. What would you see three?
Yeah, this is a little bit insane.
As it heads to two, it always crashes.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's really. I don't know. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons why that would happen potentially. I mean, but these days we have so much oil coming out of the U.S. We're not reliant on the, you know, OPEC oil as much anymore. So I don't know why that would happen. And if it did happen, by the way, it wouldn't happen. Do you know why? Because if it did get to $300 a barrel, nobody'd be using oil. So it can't get there. It's a supply demand concept. They'd figure out an alternative. Stupid. Fast food workers are planning to unionize. After a 2-year effort, workers at a Burgerville. You ever seen a Burgerville?
I don't even know what Burgerville is.
I'm assuming they serve burgers.
Well, I would hope.
Yeah. Maybe salmon burgers, but some kind of burgers. It's in Portland, Oregon.
It's just a restaurant. Somebody's going to unionize. So what? Yeah. I don't see how this is fast food workers. Burgerville's not McDonald's. Burgerville's not, you know, Jack in the Box, In and Out. Well,
maybe,
is it?
No, but well, maybe they have 20. You know, let's look that up. Burgerville. Somebody in the chat room as we're talking.
They have 20 employees. That's a lot.
Yeah, look up Burgerville.
And I would suspect that's just one troublemaker.
It's probably, it's probably all about pay raises for everybody. You know, the whole thing that, you know what, we demand a lot more respect because we are the premier burger in Portland, Oregon.
It's actually a little chain headquartered in Vancouver, Washington. And it's a small chain in Oregon and Washington called Burgerville. It has, let me see how many, it has a total number of employees, or all of them are 1,300. So that's quite a bit.
And they're unionizing.
Well, we'll see.
So here's something I need to ask you about. I'm sure this is something you probably have talked about on No Agenda. By the way, each and every Thursday and Sunday, 12 in the afternoon, John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry mix it up.
Eastern
time, yes. You probably noticed this, but I'm starting to get a little bit creeped out about it a little bit. It's this, you see the whole nicety nice with North Korea, Kim Jong-un and the South Korean president, you know, they get together and they start hugging and holding hands and...
Yeah, they walk across, we're skipping across the line. And
what's the story with this holding hands and hugs thing? Is this a thing?
Well, did you see the thing with Macron and Trump? They're holding left hands and they're swinging hands around.
And then Trump was like brushing some dandruff off his jacket or something.
Yeah. No, there was like two gorillas. kind of ridiculous.
I mean, what's with this whole hugging? And
it's the hugging and kissing era. Hugging, kissing, and harassment.
Yeah, it gets me. Yeah, right. Exactly. Somebody's going to come back and say, oh, you know, King Jong-un, the deal's off. He squeezed my ass while I was walking with him. You know, that's going to be the whole deal.
It happened.
Probably. In other news, Skybridge Capital, you probably know them from that was the Scaramucci firm, the hedge fund with Fund of Funds. Pretty big firm. Oh, yeah. Pretty significant size. They're going to be bought by a company called HNA Capital. HNA Capital is a Chinese firm, and they've been buying everything. They've been buying stuff all over the place. Meanwhile.
HNA?
HNA. Three letters. HNA.
Oh, HNA.
Yeah.
Are they traded?
I don't think so. Not here, at least. But they're terminating their agreement, announced in January 2017.
They begged off the deal?
Yep. Out. Mm. And now Scaramucci is going to be going back to...
back to work.
Yeah, back to work. This was being sold just days after or during the time when he was being appointed. I guess it was to get the, you know, the capital gains free of any tax.
Anyway, I have to say this. I'm looking over the Burgerville stuff. So you started off as kind of a sleazy operation. Then it became, I would say it's very much one of the sit down places, probably competes more with Denny's than it does with the Burger King.
Oh.
And it reminds me of Bob's Big Boy.
But doesn't Bob's Big Boy have like ribs too?
No, Bob's Big Boy is pretty much in Southern California. And it's got a big giant statue of this big fat kid holding a hamburger over his head.
Right. Yeah. With like red pants and a blue shirt or something, right?
Yes, yeah, something like that, yeah. Bob. It's a sit down place mostly. They serve, it's a restaurant, a small restaurant called Burgerville. Yeah, the unionizing that place would not be as hard as it would be to unionize a real fast food place.
Right. Now, I have a question for you about this next item here on the list. Questioning if this is a good idea. And I think you know more about this because you're more of the historian. You also have a couple of years on me, just maybe one or two. But I think you remember this from the, you know, just Kirsten Gillibrand, a New York Democrat, introduced legislation to create a postal bank, which is going to empower the nation's vast network of postal offices to offer checking, banking services. And it says it's going to be a lifeline to the U.S. Postal Service because they're losing all sorts of money. Is this a good idea?
Well, the post office used to kind of be a bank. You used to buy and sell stamps. You could buy a whole bunch of stamps.
Yes.
And you can go take them back to the post office and they buy the stamps back.
Well, you can still do that, can't you?
I guess, but nobody ever thinks to do that. And they're in the money order business. It's one of the most... solid money order companies. I trust them more than I would Western Union.
I remember that actually. They don't do that anymore, do they?
What? Yes, they do.
The money orders they do still?
Oh, yeah, because we get them for the No Agenda show all the time.
Huh.
And So it's the money order businesses, you know, they do that. They do some other kind of quasi banking things, savings accounts that are, I don't remember them ever doing anything that drastic. I'm not sure that this is a good idea. I think what they're doing now is fine.
The problem is that if you become a bank, then all the other things that go along with it, plus risk. Right? If they can do loans, let's say.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what she's trying to get at here. It's just, it's a funny idea. You know, there's already the lines in most of these post offices is too long, as though they always say the place is failing, but the places are always packed. And I think they just need to go over, I think it's perhaps there's a number of issues with the way they finance their retirements. They have to pay about 10 years in advance and do a pot, and they lose their ass in the process.
Well, we'll see. You know what? That segues us into a next point here, which is, if you want to donate to the show, there's a couple of ways to do it. First of all, I've never received personally, nor has this show, a postal money order.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what that looks like. So if you want to, that's fine.
I've seen hundreds.
But you can, of course, donate to the show if you like what we're talking about. You made some money in some of the stocks we talk about. I don't know, whatever's going on. If we tickle your fancy here and there, if you hate us, whatever it is, getting some good ideas on some brandy ideas. You could do a couple different things. Go over to the DH Unplugged and you can click on the donate button. And when you do that, it's, again, we always talk about the power. You feel a whole different sense of yourself. It's a wonderful feeling. No swiping involved. It just go right there and you hook up with us by donating. And you can do that. Or if you want, which several people have taken us up on, you can get a one-of-a-kind, signed, autographed, commemorative T-shirt. The DH Unplugged T-shirts that we only give away for close to the pin winners are now available for the price of the show. So I would really encourage you to do that, John and myself. Sign them, send them off to you, and you're on a list of our favorite people for a very long time.
Yes.
So this week is what, $406. So it may seem like a lot to some of you, but
think about
it. We
sold two of these shirts. Should we number the shirts?
Put a number on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we could write show number or something like that on the show.
No, we could do that too. But I was just thinking shirt one. So the first guy who bought a shirt gets shirt one.
Yeah, but then they get the cheapest one and they get the number one shirt.
Yeah, well, that just encourages people to get in early.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
I could be wrong.
We could do that. We'll look into that. We'll look at that. We have a limerick entry this week.
Well, only one?
Well, I didn't feel like doing one. I was just too much going on this week.
Because it's pretty taxing.
Well, it is a little taxing. You got to think of an idea that, you know, you got to do the whole rhyme thing, go onto those sites that go, you know, sounds like. This one's from Simon Davies. He said in an email, he's on a roll. He's putting another one in. I think he got an A or something last week.
Yeah, so, he's pretty good.
He got a B last week, actually. All right, here it comes. Of course, chat room, you can give us a read on what you think the grade is and try to get it in before John does so we can kind of figure this out. Here we go. Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen all drunk the Kool-Aid they're selling. Market pleasing with quantitative easing and a hand basket, we're going to Helen.
For some reason, I really like this because I like the use of the word hell in to rhyme with selling and yelling.
Yeah.
And a hand basket, we're going to Helen. All drunk with the Kool-Aid, they're selling. It's actually, and also yelling ends with I-N instead of I-N-G, and selling is used instead of selling with an N-G, works well with the hell in. So I'm giving him an A.
Oh. Ding. You got a bell? You got to do a bell for that. It's a ding, ding, no, something. You got to do a dinger.
Actually, I could do, let me get the good bell.
He gets an A. Simon Davies.
The good bell is this one.
Yeah, I didn't read it. Oh, there you go. I'm going to read it one more time because I didn't think I did a good read. You know what I mean? Here, we're going to try it again.
Okay.
Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen. All drunk the Kool-Aid they're selling. Market pleasing with quantitative easing and a hand basket would go into Helen.
Yeah.
That's a better one. There you go.
Very structured.
Yeah. There you go.
Round one.
We'll have a new close to the pin coming up, so keep your eyes on that. I'm not sure. Do you have any ideas on stocks that you want to put in there?
No, not offhand.
Not offhand.
How about something? How about an ADR?
An ADR, like maybe Baidu?
Oh, yeah, something like that. Baidu would be good.
Baidu. We got Baidu coming in. Baidu. All right, that's it. We're going to do Baidu, which is a Chinese internet / web company. Okay, a couple of things to note here before we get to the stocks. Where are we on time? Let me take a look real quick. Okay. This story kind of got me a little... Judges of the prestigious Wildlife Photographer of the Year have disqualified a winning contestant after the anteater in his prize-winning photograph was judged highly likely to be a taxidermy specimen. Called the Night Raider, the image was taken by photographer Marcio Cabral and depicts an anteater underneath starry skies next to a termite mound dotted with glowing bioluminescence. A team of five scientists all judged the work to be a fake, a conclusion Cabral strongly denies. There's the photo. See what you think about this. By the way, the photo will be on DH Unplugged under show episode number 406. What do you think? What do you...
Let me take a look.
I personally think, well, of course, a couple things.
Fake photo.
First of all...
Oh, well, if he had to... What did he do to get those ants to light up?
That's first of all, the ant light up. I don't even see the anteater very well. Do you?
He's over on the left. Yeah, I see him pretty well.
What is... But it looks like a raccoon.
I think the attraction of the picture is the lit up ants and this lit up sky.
The lit up sky is interesting. However, I guess those streaks in the sky are planes maybe going overhead because he took it at a slow shutter speed.
Yeah, I see that.
So I guess he did that. The anthill looks like a beaver standing up straight with his head in the air.
Yes, it does, actually. Good
right?
catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the house in the background. I don't know.
I don't see how this would have won in the first place.
I don't either. It looks more like a painting than it does a photo, right?
Well, assuming.
Yeah, somebody said this. The anteater looks like a toucan. I agree with that. Looks like a...
I would think that this was done with using HDR trickery to get the kind of the lighting the way it is. So there's that. But I don't know why this would win.
Yep.
That's what I'm guessing. It's like, except for the lit up ants, it's kind of interesting. But
you could have cropped the right side too, fake. Get the little town lights out of there.
Like the fake. Yeah. Well, so, you can spot those out with Photoshop.
And by the way, what they're saying here is that this one, and there's actually another like almost fireworks thing on the bottom left sky area. It looks like a cluster, if you look at it from a distance very quickly. They have all these like round circles in there. If you were to use this as, if you did judge this and say, okay, the anteater is fake, but what about the rest of it? I mean, that's the only thing that's fake in here? They picked out the anteater and they said that looks like the one that I saw down at the taxidermy shop?
It's beyond me.
I don't get it. And the ants don't even, the lit up ants don't even look like they're on the mound.
I'm telling you, the whole thing looks kind of like it just looks. I don't know. It's not anything. It's not to me an attractive, composed photo. It's got a lot of gimmicks going on. It's kind of cool, but I don't see how it could win.
I'll give you something else about this. The reason why there's a problem. The problem is this was taken at a very slow shutter speed. Would you agree with me there? If it was right.
Yeah, it would have to, well, yeah, to get those sky dots to light up. And then you also see the streak there, which is indicating that probably a 1 second, maybe 2 seconds.
Right. How do you get an anteater not to move for that period of time?
He's just sticking his tongue in there. They don't move a lot.
That's his tongue. I don't see his face. That's my problem. I just don't see it. I don't visually see it.
His face is right there. It's got a big round. I think this is his face. It's got a round, looks like a raccoon face with a round black eyeball.
What's the thing on the top then? What's that stick on the top?
I don't know what that stick on the top.
That's what's throwing me off. It looks like an arm, maybe?
I have no idea what that is.
A crab's arm.
The whole thing is just too weird.
And it looks like it's sticking it right in the raccoon's hey nanny nunu.
I have no idea. Now that you mention that, I have no idea.
This whole thing
is not a good picture for the award in the first place.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing.
I like the idea of bringing a taxidermy thing, just putting it all over the place and then taking a picture.
I just thought that we had a
here he is at the Tower of London.
More fake information. An art museum in the south of France has discovered that more than half of its collection consists of fakes. And what the local mayor on Sunday described as a catastrophe for the region. So there's an 8,000 strong community of Elne, just out of Perpignan, reopens its, I can't pronounce this crap, Etienne Terrasse Museum, dedicated to the works of local artists born in these particular years, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, 60% of the entire collection was fake.
Yeah. How does anybody think that's different in any museum?
Well, I guess not. What's your favorite museum? I know you like one of my favorites, Museum d'Orsay.
Mm-hmm.
Great one, huh?
That's one of the top museums of the world, I think. I like the Met a lot.
The Met's good. I like the Met. What about the Guggenheim?
This Modern Art Museum in New York is nice.
MoMA. And Guggenheim?
Guggenheim to me is like a toy museum. I don't, you know, it's small and it's kind of cute.
You got to climb all that whole hill too.
You walk in the circle, you get to the top, you walk back.
Yeah. And finally here, two things. Lilium, a German startup company with Silicon Valley scale ambitions. Put Silicon Valley, everybody gets all excited.
Don't they all have that? Yeah. You know what? I can define that for you. It means that your company should be able to take over the entire world.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're planning
to sell the company to investors, you have to show them how that works. How does it work that you can take over the entire world?
Yep. Well, they're going to do it through flying taxis. They believe in the next decade, there's going to be flying taxis. They hired Frank Stevenson, the designer behind the iconic car brands, including the Modern Mini, the Fiat 500, and the McLaren P1. That's a range of designs, the Mini to the McLaren.
Yeah, I would say that's a big range.
Okay. He's developing a lightweight aircraft powered by 36 electric jet engines mounted on its wings. It aims to travel at speeds of up to 186 miles per hour with a range of about 150 miles on a single charge. It's going to be like that movie The Fifth Element.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it'd be Bruce Willis be driving one of those things.
Fifth Element. Finally, two more things, actually. Amazon is working on a super secret project. Already I have a problem with that because if it's a super secret project, how do we know about it?
I've always asked that question when I hear about stuff like this. By the way, an Amazon store is opening up near me.
One of the ones that you just walk through when you buy stuff?
I don't know yet. I think so.
Hopefully it's not an Amazon bookstore. That would suck.
It could be.
But maybe they'll have this. Maybe it's going to be their robot store, Robots for the Home, the retail and cloud computing giant. They should start out with the Silicon Valley aspiring company that is a cloud computing giant, has embarked on an ambitious top secret plan.
Yeah, shades of Nolan Bushnell and robot.
And it's going to be called Vesta, after the Roman goddess of the hearth, home, and family. And Bill Cosby was convicted last Thursday of drugging and molesting a woman in the first. This is what I caught here. Listen to this here. Bill Cosby was convicted last Thursday of drugging and molesting a woman in the first big celebrity trial of the Me Too era, completing the spectacular late life downfall of a comedian who broke racial barriers in Hollywood on his way to TV superstardom as America's Dad. So two things that caught my eye. First was, in the first big celebrity trial. In other words, suggesting that there's a lot more to come.
Yeah, we got tons coming your way.
The second
for your
one,
entertainment.
The second one was the hashtag Me Too era. Or era. Are we in the Me Too era?
I guess. Must be.
Yeah. Gotta be careful out there. Anyway, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
I did a review of Sling TV.
Oh, I want to hear about this. Seriously, I got this on my list of things to get a Sling TV potentially.
Well, I have a Dish. I'm a Dish Network user, and I like it. I think it's the best. But I had a windstorm, and it knocked my Dish askew.
Oh.
It still works, and I still get the OTA stuff. But I haven't had it realigned. And so, of all the things it doesn't do now, it doesn't get TNT and ESPN.
It's just a little bit off axis.
Yeah, just a bit off. And TNT is going to have the Warriors against the Pelicans. I had to see this game. So I'm looking for some alternative ways of doing it besides using some bootleg systems that I know do work. But I decided I would not do that. Ace Stream, I mentioned it in the column. And so I know that Sling TV, first of all, that Hulu is supposed to have TNT. So I checked Hulu. I have a Hulu account. No, can't. There's this bull crap. Can't get the basketball game. Mm. If you can, I don't know how to do it. So I got to Sling TV because it has the TNT, the cheapest one. It's a 7-day free trial, 10 bucks a month. You get TNT, all kinds of obscure little second tier cable stations plus ESPN. So this is perfect. They'll have the games. And so I get the thing in time for the game. Mm-hmm. Well, it works fine on everything, except apparently it gets a little overloaded.
Really?
With these games. And so it's blacking out all the time and blinking and then stops. And then it goes black and then the game's on for a while. And then the announcer's voices for about a good 5 minutes sounded like this. And so I found that annoying. And then when it got back up to resync, it was off about 15 seconds, just enough to be on the wrong play.
Oh,
it sounds that was really annoying because the cheering and everything would come in. It was, why are they cheering? And so then finally, you know, it settled down a little bit, but still would black out. I was very disappointed in its ability to do live events of a high caliber. And you know everybody was watching basketball fans all want to watch the Warriors-Pelicans game, especially the first game because the Pelicans were on a roll. And then they got their asses handed to them. And so that's it. So now I got this thing. I'm thinking, well, I'll watch a couple more games on it. But my conclusion is that it's a nice – if you have – like you don't want cable, you don't want any of these things, but you want a couple of these channels, a couple of these sports channels, might not be a bad thing for 10 bucks if you have OTA. Because with OTA over the air, you can get probably – at least here, I can get almost 90 channels.
Sounds like they're using the same technology baseline as Skype.
I don't know.
But every once in a while it works and then it doesn't work.
Yeah, I want to check. Maybe. I don't know. Whatever the case was, I found it very annoying. I did get to watch the game. Oh, and the other thing I mentioned in the column, it has a shutter look to it.
What do you mean a shutter look?
It's like, you know, that kind of strobe like movement.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's like, you know, jittery.
The whole time?
Most of the time.
I wonder if it's your maybe they're throttling you.
Not being throttled, I can assure you. I have really good connectivity with Comcast. I'm using it on a Roku box, and that's not going to happen. I've heard other things. When I first said I was going to use it, I had a lot of people on Twitter say, you know, you won't like it. Yeah. So I'm not the only guy that's had this problem.
All right. Let's get over to segueing, moving along, and onward to the stocks for the week. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any securities. It's just not a recommendation at all. Just a game that we play. Just get calm. Don't get excited. If you decide for whatever reason to use any of the things that we talk about, make sure to do your own research and seek professional financial advice or psychological advice, whichever one you feel is appropriate. John C. DeVark, myself, and Horowitz Company clients may own any of the names that we mention, and we'll put that on the disclosures if we do. So we had a couple of things bumped off this week. United States Steel. I got to tell you something. This whole tariff thing, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but back and forth. Terrible. And it's killing these companies. These companies, they think there's tariffs. They open up another plant. The tariffs are going to all these exclusions. Well, they don't get the business. The stock goes down. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very poorly executed. Very I agree.
La Jolla Pharmaceutical, your pick is up 4.5%. JNUG is up 5.5%. Facebook, your pick for the long, up 14.65%. Since you hit it like right on the bottom. You ticked the bottom perfectly.
I did. It was fantastic.
Beauty. Timing's everything. Entercom Communications up 6.5%. Your Alliance MMA is down 22%. Didn't hit its stop yet. My Tesla short, they're coming out with earnings tomorrow, is up 2.27, not much. The Russian invasion, two positions that you have in Russia, one's up 17%, one's up 5%. Spotify, twice on, twice kicked off on the short.
There's a stock I won't play in real life.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you always know there's these certain companies, you just can't get the timing right. It's just, it's timing.
And then you get like, pissed off when you say, I'm done with this thing, and then it shoots down 25%.
It can happen.
It happens a lot. Biotech. Yeah,
so those are the ones you just avoid. You say, what are you going to do? It's not a stock for you.
Yep. I have a pick for this week. Match Group. I'm going to hook up with
Match Group.
No, I'm going long.
Oh, so you think it already hit bottom?
Well, it's down 22% today.
Oh, yeah. You're taking a buy. You did dead cat bounce.
Yes. I'm hooking up with it. That's what I'm doing.
I'm looking at it now. It's like, wow. It's like dagger. You're catching a dagger. You could be stabbed.
Yep. That's what I'm doing. What do you have?
Falling dagger. Falling dagger.
Yep.
Danger, danger.
What do you got? Anything?
No, I got nothing.
Nothing.
I was looking. I noticed that there's some action on Biogen because it's kind of bottomed out around 270. One of the insiders bought some. Maybe I'll put that on there. Let's just put it on for a kick. We all know Biogen. They've up and down. They're very high priced stock.
BGNE, I believe, right?
I think it's BIIB, I think.
Oh, Biogen. Oh, I thought you were talking about Biogen.
No, not Beijing.
Oh, you're talking about
Biogen. The one that they stole, yeah, the real one, not the Chinese copy.
Biogen, I got it. Got it. And what's the thesis? Yeah. What's the thesis?
Well, insider. We can say insider because there's a big insider who's bought $12 million worth. But I'm looking at the chart and it looks like it's kind of maybe it looks like it's bouncing off the bottom.
They had some earnings a couple days ago, I believe.
Yeah, I think it might be a good long-term bet.
All right, we got it on there.
All right, good.
We're good. All right, I will talk to you next Tuesday. Well, by the way, let me just say, congratulations to my son graduating on Thursday from UCF.
Congratulations to him. UCF's a good school.
Yep. Brett is graduating. Very excited about that. Very excited. Last kid out the door.
Yeah, well, tell him to get on Facebook and start dating.
Ah, good idea. All right, I'll see you next week.
All right, you've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.